And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Welcome to another edition of the Awakening Podcast here on American Family Radio. Thank you so much for joining us, and God bless each and every one of you for your prayers, for your support, for all that you do to make AFR possible, because we couldn't do it without the grace of God and your help as well. And thank you so much for everything you do to make it possible. And I especially say that at the beginning of my programs because, folks, I am so grateful to know that I can be on a venue where I'm not going to be censored for telling the truth. I'm not going to be censored for believing the Word of God. And sadly, again, even conservative so-called venues don't really want to hear that because they've decided to compromise with the world because they're not Christians. So they compromise with the world and they don't particularly want a Christian biblical worldview that could kind of burst a little hole in their bubble. And so American Family Radio stands apart as an organization that is dedicated to the truth of God's word. And we're just going to put it out there. We don't do it with hatred. We don't do it with bitterness, anger, venom, violence. We do it with love, but we have to do it. And no matter how much you do what the Bible says, speak the truth in love, and the Bible does require that, it doesn't mean the truth won't cut and that it won't hurt. Because if you're dedicated to something other than the truth, or the truth is painful, and there's nothing we can do about that. You know, we can dress it up and put whipped cream on it, put a cherry on top, sprinkles on it. It's still going to be bitter in the mouths of those who don't want to hear it and who don't want to submit to it. So nothing we can do about that, but we know in our hearts that we do it out of love. Ephesians 4, 14 through 16 is what I was referring to. It says, we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine or every little cultural whimsy and fancy and fad by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love. May grow up in all things to him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. You know, speaking the truth in love not only is a blessing to those who do not adhere to the truth or who do not want the truth, who don't accept the truth, it's a blessing to them because they are confronted with the truth and maybe at some point that truth will take root in their hearts and cause a transformative change in their lives, a transformative impact in their lives. But it also says it edifies the body of Christ. When we speak the truth in love, we are edifying ourselves in love. Well, we're reminding ourselves that we're in love with God and we're in love with one another and we're in love with the truth of God's word. And that's why we do what we do. That's why we say what we say. We don't say anything out of hatred. We say, we speak out of love because Romans chapter 5 says, the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And so the love of God is in us. And no matter what people say about us, no matter how much they talk about us, no matter how much they accuse us of being haters, they can't take that love out because it's put there by the Lord himself. Because we now belong to him. So having said all that, let me say, I want to get this out. This is my first program after the beginning of the abomination called so-called Pride Month. You know, a haughty spirit goes before destruction and pride before fall. But, you know, that doesn't matter to the people who traffic in pride. They're proud of being associated with immorality and demonic ideas and things that they promote. They're proud of their association with it. You know, there used to be a time when people, even abject sinners, were ashamed of their sin. When they didn't announce it and prance around the world trying to let people know how proud they are of their sinful behavior or sinful lifestyles or sinful words and deeds and attitudes. But now, yeah, you can take pride in sin. You know, the Bible says God loves the humble, but the proud he knows from afar. In other words, even God keeps his distance from prideful people. Because there's a stench that comes with it. Just like there is a fragrance that comes with true humility, a true acknowledgement. I'm not the center of the universe. God is. A true acknowledgement that I'm not the most important person in the world. In fact, the Bible says we ought to count others more important than ourselves. We ought to serve others, not serve ourselves. So where is pride in the body of Christ? It has no place. Now, gratitude to God, yes, gratefulness. You know, one of my favorite songs says, how can I say thanks for the things that he has done for me? Things so undeserved. And let you give your love to me. The voices of a million angels could not express my gratitude for all that I am and ever hope to be. I owe it all to thee. So to God be the glory for the things that he has done. For by his love he saved me, with his power he raised me. To God be the glory for the things that he has done. Lord, and there's a prayer in that song that says, Lord, just let me live my life. Let it be pleasing unto thee. And if I gain any praise, let it go to Calvary. So that's the attitude. That's the mindset that we as Christians are supposed to have. But the world is now stuck on, I'm proud. I'm proud of sin. People killing unborn babies, the most innocent and defenseless among us. They're proud of it. Shout your abortion. People living every kind of depraved, degenerate, sexually deviant life. They want to walk around in pride, inappropriately dressed, exposing themselves in a whole variety of ways, depicting all kinds of deviant behavior on some big parade platform for all to see, including the children that have been dragged there by their misguided parents to see this wickedness. And they want to celebrate it. Well, this month, that's what they're doing, this month of June. You know, June used to be associated with marriage, true marriage, because there is no marriage between a man and a woman. I mean, there is no marriage between a man and a man, and there is no marriage between a woman and a woman. That doesn't exist. That is a legal fiction concocted by people in the wickedness of their own minds, and sadly, it has now been upheld by the Supreme Court in its own misguided way, repeating the mistake it made with Roe v. Wade, which is substituting cultural trends for truth. But here we are with that fiction now emblazoned into our culture, celebrated by the President of the United States with the rainbow-lit White House, again, as if to say to God, just take a look at this. And be warned that we don't care what you think. We don't care what you say. We don't care what your word says, what your Bible says, what your preachers say. We're going to do what we want to do because we will be our own gods. Thank you very much. And that was the message. It was unmistakable. So, look, my ministry stand, staying true to America's national destiny, has declared the period from May, Mother's Day to Father's Day, to be celebrate the traditional family month. Now, we really include all of May and all of June in that process, but May to June is about a little bit more than a month, but we take it right to the end of June because we want to give people something real and true and honorable and decent to celebrate rather than the depravity that the mainstream culture is trying to get us to celebrate. And by the way, I do want to take a moment, folks, to say thank you to President Donald J. Trump, because for years I have been praying and believing God to have a president who wouldn't be issuing these stupid proclamations declaring some nonsense about some Pride Month and homosexuality. In other words, putting the president's imprimatur, the president's stamp of approval on homosexuality and gender confusion and so-called transgenderism. I've been praying for a president who wouldn't have anything to do with that, wouldn't be putting so-called rainbow, these abominable rainbow flags that have done nothing but blaspheme the rainbow sign that God gave us, that he wouldn't destroy the earth by water, and these people want to take it and turn it into some kind of sexual depravity, represents some kind of sexual depravity. And then they want to add different colors for races in there, too, because, I mean, after all, you know. Being homosexual is the same as being black or being Hispanic, right? I mean, no, wrong. But, of course, that's the game they play. And they find all too many willing people to just say amen to it, to just go along with it. And the Biden administration, the Obama administration, they were posting homosexual flags, sometimes, folks, literally with equal status to the American flag. On our embassies around the world, letting the world know. We want the world to know America is a homosexual America. And our adversaries laughing at us. Even our friends, probably some of them, wondering why in the world do we want that to be our brand? Really? That's what you want to be your brand? I long for the day, and I pray for the day, that Americans, maybe our grandchildren, will look back on this so-called Pride Month and say, you mean to tell me there was actually a time when people celebrated homosexuality and believed it was something worthy of being honored, and maybe we, or maybe those coming after us will look at them and say, yes, there was a time when people were that misguided, but we are no more. And the Bible says righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Now, when I talk about these things in other venues, I have to put disclaimers out and say, now, don't censor me. Don't censor me. YouTube, Facebook, don't censor me. But see, I don't have to do that on American Family Radio. That's why this network is so important. I don't have to do mea culpas and warnings and I just speak the truth. And here's what the Bible says about the thing that they are going to be celebrating all month. And you know exactly where I'm going. Romans chapter 1, but it's always worth hearing this again. You know, it is this edifies the body of Christ in love, and it edifies us. But it says, beginning at verse 18, it says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. See, we're supposed to speak the truth in love, but the world suppresses the truth in unrighteousness. It says, because what may be known of God is manifest in them. Well, God has shown it to them. We know a man is a man and a woman is a woman and a man can't be a woman and a woman can't be a man. It's manifest in us. God has shown it to us. It says in verse 20, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. So look, they made God out of people, because it says like corruptible man, birds, four-footed animals, and creeping things. In other words, they made God out of bugs, anything. But it starts with people. And that's what people are doing when they say, we're proud of our sin. They're making gods of themselves. It says in the 24th verse, therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Vile passions. You know, the word vile, folks, it means disgraceful, dishonorable, shameful. It means a thing of reproach, a thing that causes people to shrink back in horror. That's what the word vile means. God gave them up to vile passions. This is what they wanted, and God just took his hand off and let them go. It says, likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burn in their lust for one another. Men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. It doesn't say God did. It says receiving. You know, that word receiving, apolambano, is a word mean that the act, it's not a passive receiving, like it's just something that's put on you. It's an aggressive word that means you seize something. You seize it. You grab hold of it. When it says receiving in themselves, it really means they grabbed hold of in themselves. They seized their own penalty. You know, during the height of the AIDS epidemic, when, you know, a lot of homosexuals particularly were dying, and people were saying, you know, God put AIDS on homosexuals. I've always read that to say he didn't need to. They put it on themselves. Because what this says is not that God does something to people, but it says they receive in themselves what is due them based upon their own behavior. It says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind, a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not fitting, because two men aren't made to fit, and two women aren't made to fit. Do I need to become any more explicit than that? I mean, it's physiologically obvious. I was talking to my class at our school, the Maximum Potential Christian Academy, and I've got a class I teach them called the Family Life class. I'm going to make those materials available to all of you as we get our website set up, the Family Life class. And I was telling them that some sins are worse than others. God calls them abominations in his sight, because not all fit this description, but some do. Because some sins are not only a violation of God's moral order, they're also a violation of God's natural order. So people are sinning not only against the moral rules God gave them, they're sinning against the natural order God gave them. And that's what homosexuality does. It is unnatural. It is not good or right or normal. It is bad and wrong and abnormal and unnatural. it says, being filled with, after it says, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent. You see all these murders now with these so-called transgender people getting involved in mass murder and assassinations. Proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death. Bishop Jackson didn't say that. AFR didn't say that. God said that. They are deserving of death. Not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. In other words, they're celebrating them. They're celebrating them. And that's why I've said, you know, the Democrat Party has become a demonic cult, because that is a perfect description of what the Democrat Party believes, how they behave now. I mean, think of this guy, Graham Platner, up in Maine. Now, this guy, every abominable thing you can think of, there's even some discussion of some of the stuff that one of these websites that he's on. I don't want to go too far into this, because obviously this is something that will have to be adjudicated. But there is at least the suggestion, and there is some evidence, that he was trafficking in websites that are where predators go after children. Clearly, he was on the lookout, as a married man, on the lookout for relationships with other women, because his wife was the one who told the Democrat Party about some of his very explicit pornographic posts, trying to somehow... I don't know what kind of woman he was trying to attract, but somehow to attract women. I mean, the man's got the wolf head, the wolfen SS tattoo on his chest, and those are the people who ran the death camps and the gas chambers in which millions of Jews were murdered. And denigrating a Purple Heart winner. He should have been dead, because, I mean, claiming that he was an anti-war veteran, and come to find out he had said he wanted to go to war because he wanted to kill people. I mean, this guy is just, he's bad news. But you know what? Chuck Schumer just endorsed him, or reaffirmed his endorsement. Yeah, I'm standing with, and Chuck Schumer's Jewish. See, this is what I mean, folks. It's like and I'm sure you saw this, but maybe you didn't, because you probably don't watch it either, The View. But this woman, Sunny Hostin, she listed out the litany of things that Graham Platner has done. Now, she is a Democrat. This is why I call him Democrats. She listed out the things. I'm quoting her. She says, he's made racist remarks against African Americans. He's a cheater. He's an anti-Semite. He's got a tattoo, and a Nazi tattoo, and saying he had it for 20 years and didn't know what it was for is a lie. So he's a liar. He's a homophobe. You know, whatever that means, but from her perspective, that's bad. So he's all the things, all these things, and character does matter. She says, but we have someone that has almost unbridled power in the White House at this point. There are no checks and balances. And I do think that only the way to get, we have to win that seat in Maine. In other words, she's going to support Graham Platner. But this, folks, this is what I say all the time, because the only thing that matters in that party is power. Nothing else matters. When you've got a Jewish guy endorsing somebody with a symbol of the Nazi gas chambers that murdered millions of Jews on his chest. And apparently he's got something on his back as well. And you got a Jewish guy endorsing him. Why? Because being a Democrat and supporting our quest for power is first and foremost in his life. And nothing else really matters. See, because that's why I call it a cult. Because with a cult, let's face it, that's the way cults behave. Cults behave and teach their adherents to behave in this way. Nothing but the cult matters. Your parents don't matter. Your wife doesn't matter. Your husband doesn't matter. Your children don't matter. The only thing that matters is the cult. And you must support the cult no matter what else you have to lose to do so, including your life, but certainly your family. They don't matter. So, what do you do in a situation like this? We have to just keep speaking the truth. No, they don't want to hear it. But they're the ones who don't want to hear it are the ones who most need to hear it. So we're going to keep telling them whether they like it or not. And again, thank God we have a president now all that stuff of posting the rainbow flags and all that nonsense on all the... I mean, they had the whole government, folks. The whole government was involved in this. Every cabinet member, every department, they had to post all this homosexual stuff and all this sexual deviant stuff to show that we are committed to the struggle for equality. Because after all, we want sin to be equal to righteousness, and we're going to make sure that these adherents to this abnormal behavior, we're going to make sure that they get treated, quote unquote, equally. Well, look, we're going to continue to stand on God's word, no matter what they do. Now, Virginia is a wonderful case in point. If anybody doubts anything that I'm saying about where these people are really coming from, again, here is the Commonwealth of Virginia now, run by Abigail Spinberger. Part of this woman, that she lowered the number, but she and her party came in with this idea: we got to have a bunch of marijuana stores all over Virginia. We need a bunch of marijuana stores all over Virginia. Really? How is that going to help Virginians? Well, it won't, but I'll tell you what. You become people's drug dealer, you can certainly make sure that they do your bidding. Either that or you cut them off. I mean, let's face it, folks. Why would government be interested in helping people get high? I mean, just think about that for a second. There are almost no penalties today in most states for having marijuana, smoking marijuana. I mean, unless you've got enough to deal. Nobody's going to pay much. I mean, the law enforcement's not going to pay much attention to you. Why would the government want to promote it and become the source of your drug, whatever it is? Well, there's only one reason. Because they can better control you high than they can when you're sober. So you know what? You keep them high. You keep them dependent on welfare and food stamps and housing and anything else. And then you put a bunch of drugs in their hands as well. And you know what? You knock on the door and say, "We need you to come riot. We need you to come protest. We need you to come vote." You know what people say? "How high do you want me to jump?" "Yes, master, here I come." Because, after all, that's the source of your very existence under those circumstances. And that's exactly what the left wants. Control of everything and everybody. Again, if there were any reason to doubt it, look at Mom Donnie. He's talking about taking, he's going to create government groceries. He's talking about taking over properties. Because so that we can demonstrate how well people can live in government housing. Oh, yeah, we've got a long history of that. Boy, I mean, does anybody doubt that once the government takes over or government starts providing housing for people, it is going to be the best housing anybody's ever lived in? And if people believe that, tell them Bishop Jackson's got a great big old bridge in Brooklyn. He'll sell you cheap. Because I'm sure they'd be happy to buy it off me. I mean, it's ludicrous. We have a long history of the decrepit, unkept, filthy, rat and roach infested and dangerous housing facilities built by the government that become, frankly, a kind of hell on earth if you live there. Where every day you walk outside, you're taking your life into your own hands because you never know when some gangbanger is going to decide to shoot in your direction, may kill you trying to kill somebody else. That is what we are up against, folks. We are up against a demonic entity. And the only way you can fight the demonic is through the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of His Word. That's really the only way you can fight it. Now, look, that fight has to be expressed in full engagement in the political process, which we as Americans are free to do. We as Christians are not only free, we must do it. We must do it. And when we do it under the anointing, which removes burdens and destroys yokes. And when you're engaging in this stuff under the anointing, that's when you see powerful results. I'm going to tell you something right now. And I say this in the name of Jesus, and I just sense a prophetic anointing on me right now to say this. Virginia is going to turn around, and Virginia is going to become a solidly red state, no matter how bad it looks right now. You know why? Because the people of God are going to pray and work and bring this state back to what God intended. And God's going to help us because God doesn't intend this state to become a basket case. You know, when Trump was running against Kamala Harris, I said on some program, might have been on my own podcast, I said, God is not going to allow Kamala Harris to become president of the United States. And I'll tell you, I got ridiculed by the left for that. Who does he think he is? God is not going to allow Kamala Harris to be. You know, what is God going to do? But I said that under the anointing. I mean, I just felt it in my spirit. And it wasn't always clear. But I said that early on. And you know what? God didn't allow Kamala Harris to become president of the United States. Now, I can't say that in every situation I can say what I really believe God, because I don't always have that sense of, okay, what is God going to do? In fact, I say that's probably a rarity. But you do from time to time. I do at least. Get that unction where you just know what God is going to do. The Bible says, there's a scripture that says, I don't have it the site on top of my, on the tip of my tongue right now, but it says, will God do anything without revealing it to his prophets? And that doesn't mean he's going to reveal everything to me, but he might not reveal something to me. He might reveal to somebody over there or somebody over there or so, you know, some, or to you. Or to me. But God is going to always, in one way or another, tell his people what he's up to. And you won't get all the specifics and all the details and all that. But, you know, God wants us to know that he loves us and he's never going to abandon us. So now you mark my words. I don't know how long it will take, but I tell you what, I'm going to see it happen. I'm not talking about some 50 years down in the future. I'm going to see it happen. And, you know, we're going to call it the Virginia Miracle. Glory to God. And, you know, part of what I really believe, just like we read, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Part of what I believe happens, and it may happen in Los Angeles, is that they go so far that they shock the conscience even of people who aren't biblical worldview Christians, but just know that that's not right. I can't support that. I mean, believe it or not, folks, you've got Hollywood. I saw the list of Hollywood people who are supporting Spencer Pratt for mayor. I have to tell you, my mouth dropped open. Because Spencer Pratt says, I am a registered Republican. I mean, they're ignoring that. Because they see what the wicked witch of L.A., Karen Bass, has done. She was in Africa fiddling while L.A. burned. No water, insufficient staffing of the firefighters, still nothing happening in the building process, no strong advocacy of the people of LA to help them rebuild their houses. Look, most of those people in Los Angeles wouldn't agree with me probably on, I don't know, 85, 90% of what I believe. But I tell you what, I believe that those people have a right to live. They have a right to be safe in their homes. I don't care whether they agree with me or not. They have a right to public safety. They have a right to go to parks and not be concerned about being shot or having their children raped or murdered. And they're seeing that's not what they're getting from the people who claim to be in agreement with them. And I believe at some point, people are going to wake up. Now, I don't know whether it will happen in L.A. I don't know. I wish I could tell you God told me what's going to happen. I can't say that. But I know one thing. They keep pushing the envelope. They keep going further and further and further and further and becoming more and more and more and more radical. And at some point, the average person who is not really as caught up as these elites tend to be in all this weird, wicked, twisted stuff, go, whoa, wait a minute, no. I can't go along with that. Yeah, but you're a Democrat. Well, Democrat or not, I can't go along with that. And that's, I believe we're going to start to hear people begin to say that. Look, I've been waiting a long time to see this happen in the black community. Because I believe that the Democrat Party has been about as disrespectful and is about as dishonorable and about as disregarding of the interests of black people and particularly in the inner city as any so-called leaders could ever be. And about as condescending. I mean, you know, Gavin Newsom talking about, I can't read, I'm just like you. Really? That's you're just like me? Because I'm black, you're just like me because you can't read? Hey, what? But see, that's the way they really think. That's the way they really think, folks. It is condescending, and they're always pointing the finger. You're a racist. 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 In fact, this guy Graham Platten said all rural people are racist, and they're all ignorant. I mean, he just completely denounced them. Just another deplorable statement, like Hillary's, and another statement like Obama's. Well, you know, you expect people like that to cling to their guns and their Bibles, and to hate people who don't look like them, or whatever, you know. That's the way they think about the average American. I mean, I've been experiencing it all of my conservative life, and I've been conservative most of my adult life. As a teenager, I wasn't, because I didn't have any kind of ideological sophistication or understanding, and I wasn't a Christian. But once I became a Christian, my conservatism came immediately to the surface because the Word of God demanded it. And once people figured out that I was conservative, oh my goodness gracious. I can tell you some of the dumb things people have said about me. That sometimes they'll say it in front of a friend who then come back and tell me, you know what so-and-so said? What? Oh, okay. I mean, it doesn't surprise me. Because I don't believe in the victimology, and I don't believe in, oh, woe is me, poor me, a black man, and the white man won't let me, and all that nonsense, all that victimology and this racial ideology and race obsession syndrome. I don't buy into not one single bit of it. There's not any difference between any person of any skin color. And what makes the difference is what's in our hearts, not what's on our skin. But I had one friend come to me and said, happened to be the mayor of the city I was living in at the time, came to me and told me that the mayor said something about, you know, you ought to get Bishop Jackson to da, da, da. And the mayor said to him, the mayor happened to be black, the mayor said to him, I'm not dealing with him. He hates black people. Folks, I hear that stuff, and it really does make me laugh because it's just so stupid. You know, I said, my wife is black, my father's black, my mother's black, my children are black, I'm black, but I hate black people. You know, what? but that's all they've got. All they've got is to use identity politics and, of course, the institutions that they have control over to indoctrinate people into thinking a certain way. And what they'll have people thinking about someone like me, because I don't buy into the victimology ideology. Oh, see, he's not. Yeah, he's a traitor. He doesn't even like black people. And the fact of the matter is, I love all people. And I'll serve people in any way I can that God gives me guidance and direction. I mean, our Maximum Potential Christian Academy right now, all of the children in our school are black. And I go over there and folks, I'm not patting on myself on the back to try to make myself seem that important. But I'll tell you, my schedule is pretty jam-packed. It really is. And probably people are busier than I am, but I'll tell you what. Probably there aren't many, but I take time out of my schedule to go to the school and work with a group of young boys trying to help them to think about the kind of life that God wants them to live. And I love it. It's a blast for me, and they seem to enjoy it, and that does my heart good. Sure, I would do that for any children. I don't care what the color of the skin is. These children happen to be black. And sadly, they have some social problems and family problems in most cases that are more prevalent in that demographic than they are in others. But I'd serve anybody that God gives me the opportunity to serve. But, you know, no, because, but I'm not going to serve them. You know, obviously, you can't serve people on their terms. You've got to serve people on God's terms. Because if you try to serve people on their terms, people twist you all up and have you not serving God, but serving them. And basically believing and repeating and mimicking whatever they say they think you should be thinking. But you can't you can't adjust your deepest convictions to satisfy people so that they will accept you. You must bring those deepest convictions to impact them so that they will accept God. Sometimes you got to get your toes stepped on, and sometimes you got to get smacked, metaphorically speaking, of course. But you got to get sometimes be hated. Jesus said, "You shall be hated by all men for my name's sake." Sometimes that. But what's the end result we're going for? The end result we're going for is the redemption of human beings. Folks, I tell you, I look at these kids I work with, and I see the giftedness, and I see the intelligence, and I see the potential in it. We call our school the Maximum Potential Christian Academy. Potential what? Potential to fulfill the gifts that God has put in them. In fact, I was just teaching them that in the last session I had with them, talking to them about the meaning of the school and what their potential is. That's what God wants. He wants what he's put inside you to not be buried in the ground. Oh, woe is me. I can't. They won't let me. But he wants you to grow it, to multiply it, to use it. And frankly, at our school and through me, they're not going to get, oh, yeah, I wish you could. But, you know, the society is so racist and so many people are against you. Go ahead and bury your talent in the ground. God will understand. Well, the Bible says he didn't and doesn't. Said when that salt servant dug up the one talent and brought it back to him, said, "Well, I knew you were a harsh man. Here you go. I brought you back what you gave me." He said, "You wicked and slothful servant." I mean, I'm paraphrasing a little bit. I'm Jacksonizing a little bit, if you will. But what God really in effect said in the parable is, well, if you really believed that I was such a harsh man, you should have taken my talent and at least put it out to usury and got me something for it. You know what? He was wicked and slothful, and he was using that as an excuse. And I think that sadly, people are only too happy to be given an excuse for not taking responsibility for their own lives, but putting the blame on somebody else. Oh, they won't let me. Really? Yeah, you know what? Who the day is? The day is you. And How do we get on this? But I think we got on this by talking about the philosophy of the left and the Democrat Party, in rather than empowering people and inspiring people and uplifting people, instead denigrating people and discouraging people and telling people, including, frankly, all Americans, but particularly those that they name as their victim classes, that you can't make it. The country won't let you. The country is bad. The country is mean. America's unjust. America's racist. America's white supremacist. And the only thing you can do is just let me have the power to make everything right. Yeah. We've seen some of that. No, thank you. No, thank you. We've seen that with the Great Society programs. Here we are $3 trillion later. And what do we got? We've got the complete decimation of the family pretty much across the board, with the black family catching it the worst. No, thank you. We've had some of that rescue. Mom Dottie made fun of Ronald Reagan's little quip. I think he's called the five worst words, I think, in the English language. No, it's not five. What is it? Eight, whatever it is. I'm from the government, and I'm here to help. Oh, my goodness. No, thank you. No, thank you. I will look to the hills from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Thank you very much. All right, folks, that's going to do it for me. I've really got to go, but I've enjoyed every moment of sharing with you. So, look, we're celebrating the true family because one of the things I instill in these young boys I'm teaching is what it means to be a family and what it will later for them mean to be a father. It's all age appropriate, of course, but I'm teaching them to think about the moral principles, the spiritual principles, because look, what they see around them, and in some cases, thank God we've got Christian families who then children are being raised properly, but we have some that come from very difficult circumstances and they're not being raised properly, and they're certainly not being given proper models of what it means to be a good father or a good mother. And I'm seeking to instill that in them. And the answer is not to look to the government or look to the Democrat Party, because that's the worst thing in the world you can do. You got to look to God, look to His Word, look to the Holy Spirit, and yes, look to yourself under His guidance. Well, look, God bless. As always, folks, we've got the victory through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who always causes us to triumph. So God bless each and every one of you. I love you. Pray for me. I'm certainly praying for you all, and thank you all again for your prayers and your support for me, for the other hosts on our network, and for American Family Radio and American Family Association. And remember to stand up, step up, speak up, and refuse to back up. Because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit. Because we are on God's side. God bless everybody.